You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonsalves here with On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Thursday, the 1st of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, Flight Centre, it is closing another 91 stores across the country. We speak with its CEO, Graham Turner, who will also tell us which countries will open up to Australian travellers first. But let's begin with property, because despite the COVID-19-led recession, we're still yet to see a property price crash. CoreLogic released its for September. Nationally, prices are down 0.1%. The median national price for a home, $554,372. Year on year, national prices are up 4.8%. Now, if we revert back to what we saw in September, prices actually rose in all Australian capitals but two. So this is for September. Brisbane prices rose 0.5%, Adelaide 0.8%, Perth 0.2%, Hobart 0.4%, Darwin 1.6%, and Canberra prices rose 1.5% last month. Now, CoreLogic's head of Australian research, Eliza Owen, explains some of the reasons why some properties are doing well.
I think in areas where we've seen increases in dwelling values since the onset of the pandemic, the common themes have been things like less exposure to overseas migration as a source of housing demand, and also just generally lower levels of COVID, lower levels of unemployment, and greater levels of consumer sentiment. We're also in a bit of a demographic sweet spot, I think, where a lot of the millennial generation, who are the largest adult generation, are in that typical first home buyer age, some of them getting to the upsizing age as well. So with all of the government incentives that we've seen around owner-occupiers and first home buyers and lower mortgage rates, that's really providing a boost to some of these dwelling markets as well.
Let's now focus on the Sydney and Melbourne property markets, because combined they make up 40% of housing stock nationally and 55% of housing value. So Sydney prices last month fell 0.3%, but year on year prices are still up 7.7%. Melbourne last month values fell the most, 0.9%, which is probably unsurprising because of the stage four restrictions there. Year on year prices are up 3.1%. Eliza Owen says there are no major signs of forced selling at the moment.
Yeah, look, it's hard to get a view on. We look at the purpose of valuations audit for the purchase of property and also for mortgagee in possession, which in other words would be a kind of distressed sale. We're not seeing any material increase in valuations audit for that purpose. And that suggests to me that the stock that is sort of coming onto the market is probably not a result of that more distressed kind of activity.
I guess a couple of key things is that we'll wait to see what comes out of the federal budget on Tuesday when it comes to some sort of support for the sector, and what happens to prices when people come off things like mortgage holidays from the banks and that government stimulus like JobKeeper. To the Australian share market now, and after a 2.3% fall yesterday, the market has rallied to its best start in a fourth quarter since 2015. The S&P ASX 200 up by 1% to 5,873. It follows a strong performance from iron ore miners, BHP up 1.9%, ANZ, the best of the banks, up 1%, and listed property players did well too, GPT Group up by 3.3%. A little earlier, I spoke with Chris Weston, the head of research at Pepstone. Chris, our market was hit yesterday following the US presidential debate, but shares on Wall Street rose almost 1% overnight, and we've rebounded quite strongly today. Why?
There's this beautiful reflation trade that's going through the market. You know, we've seen the US dollar a little bit weaker. Commodity prices, generally, if you look at iron ore futures, copper, they're all moving a little bit higher today. I think people are looking at the idea that there's a much greater chance of fiscal stimulus coming from the US. It needs it. It's around 50-50, but certainly they're back at the dialogue table at the moment. And I think the market's saying to themselves, we need to be in positions in case there's an agreement. If we do get fiscal stimulus in the US, yeah, markets will continue to their merry sort of reflation trade higher. And I think that's what we're seeing today in the Australian market. But we're seeing US futures, S&P futures moving higher. And there's a general just sort of good vibe going through markets today.
It's a similar story for the Australian dollar because it's edging now closer to 72 US. Where do you see it going?
Well, I think it's interesting because the Chinese yuan is strengthening today, and it looks like it wants to sort of take out the recent highs that we've been seeing against the US dollar. So I think as the yuan's been strengthening in China, that's really been putting a bid in some of the sort of China proxies, and the Australian dollar is one of those. As I say, there's this general feeling that we could see, there's a higher probability or a possibility of a stimulus deal between the Republicans and Democrats. It still needs to be signed off in the Senate. But I think in that situation, as risk is coming through Asia, as people are feeling, you've seen that sort of positive expectancy, the Australian dollar's benefited from that. But, you know, we still need to break through 72 cents, and that's a big if at the moment.
It's a big week next week too, because we've got the federal budget, but just before that, interest rates. What's the market betting on whether we'll see a rate cut next Tuesday?
It's very low now, to be honest. I mean, I think people have taken those bets off. If you look in the euro, in the short-term interest rate markets, the probability is very, very low indeed. I think actually, if you're looking at, say, three-year government bonds, that's where things are interesting at the moment. You know, you've got that around sort of 18 basis points. Remember, they've got this underpinned at 25. So the market's still expecting them at some stage to move their target a little bit lower. Whether that comes in November is another thing. But yeah, I think expectations have been hosed down a lot recently, and you've seen that in the interest rate market. I don't think anyone's really expecting too much here.
Chris Weston there, Head of Research at Pepper Stone. Let's move over now to Flight Centre. Shares actually rose 2.8%. It is shutting 91 of its stores across the country as the pandemic hits the travel industry. Before COVID-19, Flight Centre had around 740 stores across Australia. Now it has about 400. For more, including when Aussies can start travelling overseas, I spoke earlier with Graham Turner, the CEO of Flight Centre. Graham, how necessary was it to shut down these extra stores across Australia?
Look, Ricardo, it's really about right sizing for what we believe the market's going to be. Particularly, it's going to take some years to come back fully, and so we've got to make sure we've got the right store network in the right geographical locations. And this has been sort of stage two of that. A lot of these stores that we're shutting down, we've had two or three stores in the one shopping centre, for example, over the years. So we'll still have with about 400 retail shops left now, we'll still have a very broad representation in Australia.
When it comes to jobs, what does it mean? How many jobs will go?
Well, look, the numbers of stores is not necessarily linked to the number of jobs. We've retrenched about 4,000 people. Just because, and we've retained 2,000 or 3,000, but it's essentially giving people the opportunity to go and get another job rather than being on stand down, and we'll welcome them back if they want to, and I'm sure a lot of them will when things come back, when travel comes back.
And what does it mean for your business now and moving forward? To what extent are you focusing online as opposed to your physical stores?
Look, we believe our online's been growing quite rapidly, flightcentre.com, for example, and we're reasonably happy that it's going to be quite significantly increased as travel comes back on board. I still think people will want a personal touch as well to be safe, to feel they're safe, to get good advice. But for simple transactions, we believe a certain amount will go online.
On the borders, are the states and territories opening them up too slowly?
Definitely for us. Even Victoria, I can see no reason, if you look at general expert standards, why the Australian borders shouldn't be fully open now. We have to learn to live with the virus, even with a reasonably good vaccine, and we may as well learn to live with it now. There'll be further outbreaks. Hopefully, the main thing is that we can control those outbreaks, suppress them so that our hospitals don't get overrun. That was the whole idea right from the start. And with the very, very low levels of infection, new infections now, we believe the borders should be opened pretty much straight away. And I think they will be.
Just finally, yesterday, the International Air Transport Authority downgraded its forecast for flight activity for 2020 from a fall of 63% to 66%. So recovery, in other words, is taking a lot longer. How do you view the timetable for when Australians can start travelling overseas?
Well, look, I think you'll see, Ricardo, in the next 2 or 3 months, there'll be a few places open with certain conditions on them. You know, New Zealand's an obvious one, but it could be Singapore, even Vietnam. You know, China, there's no reason that China can't be open to Australia and vice versa. So it'll come back in these bilateral agreements in the next few months, and it'll be quite substantial, I believe, by June next year. As in the second half of next calendar year, international travel should start coming back quite strongly. There's a fair few factors still involved, you know, and the vaccine's a big one, but yeah, that's what we think, that's what we're looking at. But the market's not going to come back to pre-COVID levels for a few years.
Graham Turner there, the CEO of Flight Centre. Let's end on some good news and Australia Post. It is on a record hiring blitz, recruiting about 4,000 people across the country to help deliver what it expects to be record parcel volumes as we head into Christmas. Most of these jobs, though, are casual and in the transport and delivery side of the business. That is On the Money for the 1st of October, Thursday 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. See you soon.